Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey folks, you're listening to the Dork Forest, or about to. The websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like. Determiners, FamilyPetAncestry.com, if you like jokes, because that just leads you to JackieCation.com. Those are the websites. The credits, Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He'll sing the song at the end. His words to the Mexican hat dance. Patrick Brady fixes this audio. Vilmos fixes my website, JackieCation.com. There are several ways to support the show if you want to support the show. Most basic way, the PayPal button. Donate. Knock yourselves out. There's a PayPal button on JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. You can also Venmo me at Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me and say things. Another way to support the show, pretty painless, the Amazon button. On both JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there's a link, a banner to the Amazon page where you just order like normal. Doesn't cost you extra. It just supports the show. There is also merch, very direct, at JackieCation.com, a whole merch situation. You can get Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts. You can get my stand-up comedy t-shirts. All the t-shirts are union made here in the United States of America. So they run a little big because they're made by Americans. There's also my CDs and my DVD. All of that is available digitally as well. But if you want hard copies, you go to JackieCation.com, the merch page. Not available on the merch page are a couple of enamel pins that I haven't added to the merch page yet. And they are Meat Shield pins and Spooky Reading Girl pins. Email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, if you want those pins. There's also a calendar of my stand-up comedy. There are premium episodes of The Dork Forest, which are episodes that I've taped live, and they cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks for them. So if you've run through all of the free ones, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com and get a live premium episode if you'd like. The YouTube page is on fire. That's right, there's teaser clips on the Jackie Cation Dork Forest YouTube page, but there's also the entire episode, the whole episode of The Dork Forest are now uploaded to YouTube. So if you can't listen to iTunes or whatever at work, you can just have this on in the background with a beautiful picture of the guest and the logo. Enough already. Let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation in my living room with my new friend, Amy Height. Hello and welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's Amy Height on the Twitter, which is Amy, A-M-Y.
Oh, thank God, yeah.
And then Height, H-E-I-D-T.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You nailed it.
I nailed it in one. And you will be doing a storytelling show. You're a writer.
Yes.
But you'll be doing a storytelling show from your friend at the Three Clubs next week, or the 24th, rather. I want to do the show, except for that it's for boys. Except for that this time, it is not.
Occasionally, yeah. It's a show my friend Joe Tower runs called Tales of Male Folly. And it is a show about...
By men, for men.
About
the dumb shit.
But about the dumb shit that men do. And it's
fun for them.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a really fun show. And it is a space where men can sort of be vulnerable and tell about times that they, you know, tried to jump in that, like, man, like, be part of, like, the male world and just failed spectacularly.
See, I completely and entirely support that. Because the thing about storytelling is that there's always a sort of a realization at the end. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the point of a storytelling show, is that at the end of it, you're like, and I was a dick, or I learned this, or I didn't learn this, but boy, wouldn't it have been great if I had. I mean, any sort of realization.
Totally.
You have to come to some sort of, so that's great. So that's Three Clubs,
mm-hmm.
Tales of Male Folly, the women version.
The female version.
Mm-hmm.
Same rules apply. They go for stories where, like, we're neither the hero nor the victim. Just like,
oh, there you go.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
The hoisted on your own petard.
Right, right. Just to reveal something that seemed like a good idea.
At the time. At the time. Exactly. I'm sifting through. I mean, you know, I've got got a lot to work with.
You got some stuff to work with? Yeah. Oh, good to know. Good to know. I just was at three clubs last night singing a song of Sixpence. Yes.
Sing? I didn't know this.
No, I don't. It's a new themed stand-up comedy version. Like, if this had been a stand-up comedy show, would have been the greatest show in the world. Was not. It was essentially, and it's so funny because the saxophone player was like, the great thing about this band is that we're all just kind of mediocre. And all the
all
singers.
All my favorite bands, yeah.
And, well, because what it is, it's called Guilty Treasures, and you're supposed to pick a song that's cheeseball.
Great.
Tell a story why you picked it. Just a couple, you know, essentially a small story. And then sing that song with the band that the band learned that song. Yes. So it's Brian Cook and Andy Wood, the great comics.
Yeah.
And then this guy, Chris, the saxophone player, who I don't know, but used to stand up and is now a writer. And then the drummer, who is a drummer. Good for him.
Oh, like a real drummer. Oh, great.
Which is good because he keeps everybody on track.
Thank God. I mean, if you're going to have one professional, it needs to be the drummer.
Yeah. So then I sang. Jimmy Pardo sang, who is an amazing comic. Matt Kirshen sang, who's a great comic, British comic. And Karen Kilgariff, who is a ringer because she does musical comedy. She plays and sings. And I was like, she's headlining, tell me. And they said, yeah, she's
great.
Close.
We got to have one.
Yeah. So, but it was very fun. And
Wait, what did you sing, though? I need to know.
I'm sorry. Rhinestone Cowboy. Glenn Campbell's classic Rhinestone Cowboy.
Thank God.
Right. And I was like, did women do covers of it? Well, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Cher did a cover. That was exceptional.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton drops the ball. Dropped the ball on the cover because she changed it to Cowgirl. Oh. I just want to be a cowgirl. And Dolly Parton, giant feminist, but for some reason, cowgirl. Cher, giant feminist, she was like, cowboy, it's fine. That's the word for it. It's like actor. It's just the word. Don't sweat it.
But Dolly just
comedian.
Likes... Comedian. Dolly's just so girly. It's like in her DNA.
It is. She just wants to be a girl.
She's just girly as fuck, and that's just her thing.
It is her thing. And she will... And that's... I mean, I've been listening to a lot of Dolly Parton because there was a great episode of The Dork Forest where I learned... I did not know anything about Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
And she's amazing. And so I've been listening to her a lot. And so she's super girly, but she will also tell you to eat a dick. She is like, yes. I don't need you and your beeswax in my beeswax.
No. Fuck off, and I'm going to pray for you. That's the Dolly Parton way.
It's the Dolly Parton way.
My favorite part, but like her origin story of like, she and her family were in this small town, and they were like, oh, there's, like, she saw, like, this woman. She was like, I thought it was the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen. And they were like, that's the town whore. And she was like, that's my brand.
Oh, my God.
She was like, I want to look exactly like her. She had, like, bleach hair, red lips, big tits, tight dress, and her family was like,
that's the devil.
Yeah, and she was like, ding, 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 ding.
God. So Amy Miller did not tell me that when she was on this program. Mm-hmm.
It's in one of her, I've read one of her autobiographies.
Okay.
I mean, I'm
it was
assuming
so
she
much to
one.
Tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Amy Miller did that. She was like, I didn't get to the fact that she gives away books.
Oh, my gosh. She gives away so many books.
So many books. Yes. She's like, read a book, which is a line from Handy in The Tick. Now, here we go on the Amy Height Trail, though. Let's do the Amy Height Trail. Now, we were sitting next to each other, and I asked you if you wanted to be on the program, and you said, well, I just joined a D&D game, because that's what everyone thinks the Dork Forest is. So they think it's all about D&D, but it can genuinely be about anything.
True.
But I kind of want – can I say your favorite line, though, because I don't know that you'll say it again when I say your friend started the D&D game.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be in a book club.
Yeah.
That's the greatest. She's like, I don't want to be at a book club. Let's play D&D.
Yeah. It was a friend of mine, my friend Molly. She emailed a few of us, female friends who are also writers and creator types. And she was like, isn't that what D&D is? Like, I know nothing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's world creating.
She really, I think the opening thing was like, what if D&D is fun, you guys? We just missed the boat on it.
Yes.
And it seems like a hard thing to get in on as an adult.
Right. It is. You need a Sherpa.
Yeah.
You need someone to hook you up. And you have someone who's run games before?
Yes.
Or who's just been in games?
Both. Her name's Amy Vorpal.
Okay.
She is huge in the D&D world and the comedy world. And she works at Nerdist and she works at Geek & Sundry. And she's just...
I know her.
Oh, you do?
I was like, I know that name. And then when you said Geek & Sundry, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
So she's like a tremendously wonderful human and very patient with us.
That is awesome because I have played now Andy Ashcraft, game designer. Yeah. So he was like, will you be in this? You want to play D&D? And so we've been playing since 2004. Wow. And I am a god, essentially, because I'm like a 17th level archer, shadow dancer,
ooh,
rogue.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like,
look at you.
It's going to be real hard to kill me. I don't even have to eat.
How many hit points do you have?
Well, I don't have many because I'm a ranged attacker, but I have about 191.
Oh my Jesus. I have like 18.
Well, okay. So what is your character?
Her name is Willa.
Willa?
Yeah.
Nice.
Willa Warmwater. I didn't. Okay. So like when we were choosing, because it was like, okay, the worst part of it was getting started.
Yes. It's hard to pick.
Yeah. So she was like, go on these websites and like look at some stuff. But it was like trying to like absorb, you know, I got that fucking textbook.
Yes.
I got it and I was like, oh my God, this is like a fifth grade social studies textbook, except it was
in
another
pictures.
Language.
Yes.
Of another world. And so it was crazy. And I was like, I don't know how to put this into my brain. And so I, you know, and some of the other women started writing in and being like, I'm a warrior, I'm this, I'm that. And I'm like, this all terrifies me. So I'm going to choose a character who doesn't have a great idea of what's going on in the world around
me. Yes. My God.
Like in Game of Thrones parlance, I am like a Samwell Tarly, like a frightened nerd.
Okay.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I've tried so many
Fair
times.
Enough.
Cannot
okay.
happen.
Jon Snow's like best friend. Who
okay.
is like a
healer?
Cowardly nerd. Yeah, he's like now he's trying to be some fucking healer. I don't know. That shows.
Jump the shark?
No. It's just there's so much.
There's too much.
I read all those books.
I tried to read the books. I tried to listen to the books on Audible. I tried to watch the TV show. I was like, everyone I love, I can tell that they're already dead. So I can't go forward with this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but
fair.
Here's my question. Are you a human?
I'm a halfling.
You're a halfling, so you're tiny.
A tiny little halfling.
Yep.
My dad was a baker. My mom was a wizard. So
you have magical.
So I'm a wizard, yeah. I'm a halfling wizard. So my parents were killed.
Okay.
In a
Disney-like tragedy.
Yeah. Well, I was hiding under the bed. Like a giant orc came and killed them looking for a special book. So like I gave...
Did you get to keep the book?
I have the book. Okay.
That's it.
It's full of runes. I can't read except last week. I was able to read it.
Excellent.
That's the great thing about our DM is she... I gave her some stuff, and then she took it and ran with it.
Yes.
And she was like, here's more of your backstory. Your parents... And then
there
she was like,
go.
Also, your parents might not be dead. Did you actually see them die? I was like, no.
Oh. No body, no death.
No body, no death. That's
it.
Right.
Killmonger. Right. If they threw him into the ocean, Namor brought him back to life. That's my theory.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of Michael B. Jordan.
Nobody wants to not see more of Michael B. Jordan.
Even
Tales of Male Folly. Want to see Michael B. Jordan.
He can have my spot. I'll just sit there and watch.
Yeah. He's eating a Kit Kat. Do whatever you want, Michael B. Jordan.
Damn,
he's a handsome gentleman. Now, this is so great because that's key for it. Now, I play in several games.
Do you
it
have
is weird.
The same character the whole time?
No.
Oh, okay.
You can make a new character. And that's part of the problem is the character development because you got to find the charts and stuff. And you got to.
Mm-hmm.
But I play with nerd guys that have been playing since they were 13.
Yeah.
So every
that's
time I'm
very
like.
That's intimidating to me.
How? No. Well, it would be except for that all of Andy's friends are like, come on in. The water's great.
Mm.
And so super supportive.
Oh, that's great.
And how many dice do I roll? And they're like, you roll, and they said, because I can't, I'm almost there, but I still have a hard time telling the difference at a glance of a D20 and a D12. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you got to look and see which one. You're like, what am I rolling?
Oh, forget
and
it.
So, so there's several games, and the newest one, I was the most experienced one that we were playing that Andy was DMing. But it's so interesting. Now I was going to ask you about your Dungeon Master, the DM, is that, and you're playing 5th edition, you said, right? And that's a good edition. I've been playing a couple of games of that with Maria Bamford and her husband and my friend Hannes and his wife and Tommy Ryman and his wife.
Nice.
These people all have names. People all have names. The wives and husbands. They all have names.
Fuck them.
It's so sad. Do they have 5 minutes? It's so hard for me to remember people that aren't comics. I'm a jackass. But here's the good – like Andy's done most of the dungeon mastering in my life. And so then we went and played another game where our friend Eric dungeon mastered.
Okay.
And he loves to do a thing where he kills you and then says – and then you're super upset because you made your character and your character's dead. And then he'll take like a sip of a Coke and go – oh, do you have any hero points? And you're like, well, there's you can add stuff. You can do whatever you want. And some games you can add hero points.
Okay.
And a hero, he's like, if you use a hero point, you can come back to life. You'll be passed out. And you're like, hey, you're manipulating my emotions. And
but that's exactly God over here.
Exactly what the DM does.
Yes.
And so it sounds like your DM is awesome.
She's great. She's promised us that none of us are going to die this game.
Yes.
That maybe we like if the very
you'll come close.
We'll go into a coma and everyone else can do throwing saves and like bring us out.
Right. And Andy has a game called the Hero Instant that he made that's online. It's just theheroinstant.com.
Mm.
And he made it specifically because I hate making characters. And it's a hero in an instant. You can make a character in 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And it's all the superhero powers that you've ever wanted. Like, I was in an early manifestation of that game, and I made Fire Mike, whatever. It was a guy named Mike, and then it turned into a woman named Michelle.
Ooh.
And she has a bike, it throws fire. And Michelle throws fire too. Mike throws fire too. And it's fun. And anyway, so you can make whatever superhero you want, and it could be a Batman kind of thing. It could be a Superman kind of thing. It could be the Flash.
This is tremendous. I love
it. Right. And so, actually, Amy Vogel might like it just for just sitting around. And that's what it's supposed to do. And Andy actually teaches a narrative game for screenwriters, but a game design narrative game.
Whoa.
At a tech school in town. Because screenwriters need to learn how to write story, and they might have to write stories for video games.
Whoa.
And so he's like, most video games have terrible stories. Please do not be part of that problem.
Please help. I want to play good games.
Okay, so do you have any weapons at all? Does Willa have a dagger?
Like a quarterstaff.
Yeah.
I got like a short bow.
I'm walking around with some stuff.
I got a familiar.
Oh, you got a familiar?
I got a little mouse named Harrison. He lives in my apron pocket.
Nice.
I like to bake croissants for everyone and like make scones as much as possible because my dad was a baker, so that's how I like win people over.
Oh my God!
I also have the friends cantrip, so if the croissants don't win, then I can just try and like charm people.
Okay, so you got pretty good charisma.
Yeah, my charisma's great. Thanks for asking.
Thanks.
the best thing about this is that one person that's playing with us has done it before, and she's playing like. She's a druid, so she kind of, like, has the wisdom. It makes sense that she's, like, the wisdom of the elders or whatever.
Right.
She's the one who actually knows a little bit about what she's doing. But the rest of us don't, so we just... There was an amazing moment a few weeks ago where we were doing something, and
how many sessions in are you?
We are, like, six, maybe seven.
Nice.
Our DM... you know, gave it like told us like here's this thing, and we were like we chose like a weird thing. We didn't know that we were making a very weird choice,
right?
But she sort of walked us. She sort of like led us through it. And then when we did this thing, she kept a straight face. She got us all the way through it, and then she like put her head down and went, "Fuck!" She's like, "You just broke my game. You just broke my game. She was like, you guys don't know enough about D&D to know what you just did to me."
Except for that Andy says that the first rule of making a plan is that everybody's going to go away from it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, he's – everybody's like, wait, you're turning left? Okay. All right. Yeah. And so what were you – like?
So we were chasing after this evil duke, and he let out of the back of his caravan – a shield guardian.
Okay.
Like a giant robot.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like the Iron Giant. She was like, it's massive. It's got, tons of hit points. Like, it's kind of unkillable.
Is it undead?
But it's dumb.
Okay.
So, no, it's not undead. It's okay. Not like, no.
Is it like steampunky robot kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Like, it looks like, yeah.
Okay.
And it's being controlled. The evil duke has an amulet that he controls it with.
Oh, fair enough. Magical.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she said... You know, it's not smart at all, so it's easily distracted. So I think what she was sort of implying is that we can just, like, run away from it.
Yes.
And we were like, no, let's chase down the Duke, steal the amulet, and then we'll control the shield guardian. So now we have a giant robot in our posse. We named him Kevin.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, you fucking
you idiots.
We also brought another person in. We met a guy on the road.
Just an NPC?
Yeah. Like he was from one of the other players, one of the other characters' pasts.
Okay.
Like one of her, like, kind of like high school nemesis kind of guys, mm-hmm. who's been spying on her. I decided that Willa has a big crush on him, so I invited him to come along with us. Apparently he looks like Nathan Fillion. What was I going to do? So she was like, no, we got in the same game, in the same night.
So now
night.
She has to create paperwork for those two and keep it going.
We added two people to our posse. Kevin also now is wearing a minotaur skull that we found in a gelatinous cube that we fought. I mean...
It's the way of the dungeons.
Yeah.
That sounds so awesome. Now, what level are you at? Are you still?
Oh, I'm at three.
Level three?
Yeah.
So you guys.
We're getting there.
Yeah. I remember the first level thing that we fought. It was, we went into the woods and I didn't know anything. Like, I'm playing with people who've been playing forever, mm-hmm. and we run into a witch.
Oh my God.
And she's like, you can ask three questions. And so I'm riffing like I do. And I said, how tall are you? And Andy goes, that's one. And the other three go, stop talking.
You can see her. You don't need to ask how tall she is.
And she goes, oh, I'm 5'4". Thank you for asking.
Oh, my God.
And then that same, like, we were like level two or three at the time. This is 14 years ago,
wow.
10 years ago. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
We ran into these tiny mice in the woods, and they were like, and it was a full moon, and they were like, hey, do you guys have any silver? And they started talking to us, and we're like, we have some silver. They said, we have gold that we'd trade for silver. And we're like, you would trade gold for silver? And they're like, yeah. And Andy
That's
did a very funny voice as the mice, and it made me laugh to this day. And we traded, and we found out literally 2 years later, if not more, that the mice were building a silver-powered thing to get to the moon. So,
oh my God.
And let me tell you something. That is the power of Dungeons and Dragons. It can be about anything. And the payoff, two years later.
Just those mice just wandered in from their own fucking story. I'm like, these guys look like they have some silver. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, take the silver and run. Go. Because only when
That's
the moon
incredible.
Is full are the mice smart enough to talk, smart enough to build the machine, and smart enough to barter for silver.
Oh, my fucking God.
So 2 years. And it might have been more years than that, but it was so ridiculous. Like, we have a Warforged with us because we're playing 3.5. In a world called Eberron. And Andy hates psionics, which is the mind...
I don't understand any of the words that just came out of your mouth.
Version 3.5 of D&D instead of 5th edition.
They did a halfway, like a
version... The 3rd edition, I guess, was so broken that they're like...
Got it.
We're sorry. We're going to put out one real quick that bug fixes. And what that means is that if you bought the five D&D 3.0 books... Mm-hmm. That's $70 a piece.
Jesus.
You then had to go buy the 3.5 books at $70 a piece.
It's like Apple.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much. Wizards of the Coast has got, they have you by the short hairs.
Wow.
Very much so.
Wow.
And Yeah, Andy's got game. I'll show you afterwards. In the guest room is also the game room of where everything is. It's sort of game toy collection. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so let's move quickly because I want to. Mm-hmm. Snacks.
Oh,
you guys doing some snacks?
All right.
Is there a cheese plate?
Well, thank you for asking. Yes, there. Even though we're not doing a book club, we still got to eat like it's a book club. So depending on who the host is. Yeah, we take the snacks very seriously.
You gotta, yeah. And try to be healthy, but you also try to be exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you bake? Because your dad was a baker?
Oh, no. Okay. Not in real life.
In real life. No. I mean, are you a pretty good baker?
I'm a pretty good cook all around.
Oh, that's great.
Baking is not my, passion. I'm for the main reason that, I can't have that stuff in my house.
You go. Oh, I know what you mean.
I have a friend who bakes a lot, and she's a great baker, and she gives it away immediately.
Right, right. She's like, I want to bake, but I can't. I will eat all of it, so I must give it away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like. I don't even know if I could get to the
to the door.
To the door. To the door. To the foil over it, out the door. I don't even know if I get there.
Right, right.
I do love it. We don't really do baked goods because also, it's fucking Los Angeles. We got our gluten freeze. We got our dairy freeze.
Oh, the dairy freeze.
We got a couple chicks that are gluten and dairy free.
Vegan-y?
No vegans.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone's got,
an agenda.
Everybody's got their own intestinal demons to battle.
We all do.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, can you hand me that coffee?
I would love it. It's a beautiful carafe.
Walmart. Thank you very much. Oh, it was the first time I ever went into a Walmart. There's one about a mile from our house.
Oh, wow.
And there's a Target about a half a mile from the house.
Well, I know what I'm doing after this.
Secret Target.
Secret Target?
Yeah, it's back in this weird tiny industrial. Those small industry buildings? In there, there's a weird Target. That it seems to be, for a while, I thought it was a training Target. It might still be.
Oh, is it a small one with half the aisles or something?
It isn't.
I've seen
It's a full-size damn Target but it's not a super Target.
Uh-huh.
But it does have a grocery department that they just added. And how about I just buy cereal? Milk and cereal is fine from the Target.
Yeah.
Because they do, it's LA, they do have organic milk.
Well, of course.
Or at least... No hormone milk, right? So
I don't even know. Yeah, I get so torn up. I go through phases of because I'm lucky. I don't have any super dietary pain related things that force me to. So it's all about me just being in my insane brain about cow's milk is bad because
it's
of these
not.
Reasons, but almond milk uses all the water in California and. Rice, who's making that rice? Are they happy?
I'm sorry to laugh, but you are correct. All of those things are true, and then I want some milk.
Yeah.
So,
So I go.
What I did is I went with whole milk about 5 years ago because 2% and skim have something added called palm oil.
Oh, God.
And it creeped me the fuck out because palm oil, it thickens it a little bit. It makes it a little bit thicker.
God.
And skim milk is still glue paste.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still
it's so
very thin.
Watery and, yeah.
Yeah. But
There's
whole milk.
Palm oil in that shit?
It's something called palm oil. And I'm come on. Just give me the milk and I'll try to drink less.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It's all a mess.
But I brought up the snacks at the D&D thing so that you could talk to me about cheese plates.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
And appetizers because that was your other dorkdom. My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Today's ad is for Tomboy X, that underwear company. It's a great underwear company. So I got the onesie zip thing. And here's the good news, you guys. It doesn't shrink. They only had 3X available. And I thought, well, women's size, I'm going to get it. And it is super cozy at 3X because women's size do run smaller. But it was still too big. So I ordered a medium and they stretch. And I'm wearing it right now. And it's super cozy and comfy as well. So Tomboy X, it's functional underwear. It's great. They have underwear. They have bras. They have onesies. They have active wear. Bikinis, briefs, boxer briefs, trunks, boy shorts, soft bras, razorback bras, basic colors, seasonal prints, brilliant colors, extra small to 4X. Regardless of where you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that anybody feels comfortable in. Go to tomboyx.com/dork. Check out the special bundles, pack pricing. If you need underwear, this is the place to get it, quite honestly, because it's super comfy cozy. And Dork Forest listeners get an extra 15% off with the code DORK. And what you should know is that I bought a second pair of these, and I used that code, and I got 15% off. Let's get back into the show.
I really love hosting, and I think a large part of it is so that I can, like, make a big cheese plate, and then I don't have to be alone with it.
Oh, there you don't be alone with your cheese plate.
No, I can't. Like, I can't be alone. I don't keep cheese or anything in the house.
What kind of cheeses go on a cheese plate?
Well, okay.
And how do you cut it, and is it – do you make it look nice?
Jackie, I'm so glad you're asking.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Okay,
that's
great. Yeah. I'll tell you, I've always been a fan. I've always been a cheese plate enthusiast. And I thought I was pretty good at it. And then I got this app called Instagram, and it showed me that I'm just a very
young. You're an amateur.
I'm a baby. I'm a babe in the woods. There is at least no. I think there are two Instagram accounts that I follow that just are exclusively pictures of cheese plates.
What are they called? Well, I'm on Instagram.
There's a chick. The one I like the most.
Yes.
My favorite cheese plate Instagram. It's called Ain't Too Proud to Meg. Some chick named Meg.
Okay. Ain't Too Proud to Meg.
She's a food stylist, so she will like show these. She makes these big, beautiful cheese plates, and I've just like. Learned some things from watching.
Yeah.
About the balance, about how the order of you got to put the cheeses on the board first.
Okay.
And then build out around that.
With other items?
Yeah.
With non-cheese items.
Yeah. So it's important to have a good balance on a cheese plate. You got to have, like, I like to do, like, three different kinds of cheese.
Okay.
Something not too scary, like a sharp cheddar.
Oh, sure. A base.
Yeah,
a basic.
Yeah. I like an aged Gouda, if you really, like, got some people that are
available.
That can hang. Then that's your starter cheese. And then, like, something soft and runny. And then, like, not
like
necessarily
a brie?
Runny. Yeah.
Okay, just there's, a soft cheese.
Yeah. There's one at Trader Joe's that is, like, my favorite cheese. It's the secret weapon of all my Trader Joe's-based cheese plates.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just begging everyone listening to go buy it because it is the most delicious cheese. And it is the one – it's one of those things at Trader Joe's. You know how sometimes you'll buy something, you're like – this seems a little odd, and you get up there, and the person checking you out holds it up, and they're like, nice.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, this is like a secret thing that the staff like.
Yeah.
That people don't buy that often. Because I live to get that nod from the Trader Joe's cashier. One time a Trader Joe's cashier told me that I bagged my groceries like a professional, and it was still
one of the greatest compliments.
I'll never let it go.
It's always nice to sometimes in a restaurant I'll say, oh, we're missing a setup, and the wait staff, if I get like a heads up on that, I'm like, I feel good. I feel good about myself. I punched in a couple of seconds ago, so it's all right. I'm such a freaking busybody.
If I ever had a table tell me they needed a setup, I'm like, your water is going to be full for the rest of the night. What can I get you?
Oh, you. Clearly, you're going to tip well.
I'm giving you the check also. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Because you know what the fuck you're doing. Mm-hmm. This cheese, okay, if you're listening at home, get a pen because it's in French. It's called La Délice de Bourgogne.
De Bourgogne?
Yeah.
How do you spell de Bourgogne?
B-O-U-R-G-O-G-G-N-N. It's something like that.
Okay. And how do you spell Delice?
It's like delicious. D-E-L-I-C-E.
Okay.
And I think that's a cheese that lives in the world. I don't think that Trader Joe's invented it.
Right.
But it's a really fucking good cheese. It's like
and it's a soft cheese?
It's soft like a brie, but it's got a little bit of sharpness like a goat. It's like right in the middle of like all the good stuff.
I wonder.
It's
all
really,
right.
really nice.
I like a brie.
You're going to like this then. Guarantee it.
All right.
One of those, and then something kind of fun or what have you. You can really go do whatever you want with that third cheese. Just go with what
draws you.
Just go.
I like a Swiss.
Oh, really?
I enjoy a Swiss.
You're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Swiss is big there, isn't it?
I don't know. The free cheese was very big as a child because there was a lot of extra cheese in the world.
The government cheese. My mom talks about that. They had that when she was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. We
talks
had
about
that.
How good it was.
It wasn't bad. It was just regular cheese. It wasn't creepy Velveeta. It was actual cheese.
It was actual cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. There's the stinkiest cheese in the world, which I cannot remember the name of.
What's the one from the cartoons? Like Limburger?
Yeah, Limburger.
That has like Wisconsin. The wavy lines coming out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wisconsin's the only place in America that's still making Limburger cheese.
Wow. And people eat it.
People eat it. I can't remember ever having it.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure I've had it because my stepmother's family was very Polish and Italian and very much like, we're going to have some Limburger cheese. And I'm like, you're from Wisconsin. Where did that accent come from?
And, who are you? Wait, what do you do with Limburger? Just like on crackers?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not making like putting that on a burger or something.
No. I, by the way, have an amazing mac and cheese recipe.
Ooh, yes.
That I only make, I make like once or twice a year because I will eat all of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And it is, it's got it's got a sharp cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, the hell has got in it? It's pretty great. It's so great. I'm gonna grab something.
Okay, great.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I can't wait. I am always on the lookout for a good mac and cheese. And I used to wait tables at a barbecue restaurant in New York that had what I maintain is the world's greatest mac and cheese. Only because I haven't had this one yet. But I have that recipe too. I'm willing to share.
What cheeses are in it?
American and cheddar.
Really?
Yeah, it's you sweat the onions with some peppercorns
and cloves.
You start with sweating like onions with garlic, bay leaves, cloves, and then you put in like 1,000 cups of heavy cream, and you infuse the cream.
Yeah.
And you boil it down. You reduce the cream. You sieve it out, and then you add the cheeses. So you don't, there's not a roux situation happening.
Right.
You just go with the cream base.
Oh, that's wild.
And the American makes it a little trashy, but all those things you did at the beginning gives it like a little depth and like.
Yeah, that sounds much more fancy.
No, but I want.
Because this is a simplistic.
Jackie just pulled out a binder.
Yeah, a binder.
Full of recipes that she's printed from the internet.
Why am I not the mother of three? We don't know. We don't know why.
The front of the binder just says cookies over and over.
That's because I was given this when I was part of a cookie club.
Oh, my God.
I was part of a cookie club by the woman who created BakeSpace. It was right when MySpace came out. There's something called BakeSpace, and that's where most of my recipes are, including this best mac and cheese ever, which was made by Tammy Suchek from my last day job. Now,
wow. Yep. This looks very similar.
So it's essentially, it's a stick of butter.
Well.
At least. 5.5 cups of whole milk. And then it is a roux. But then it's like salt, nutmeg, black pepper, cayenne.
Yes, yes.
It's got a little bit of cayenne. So it's sharp white, a Gruyere. And a Gruyere. And so it's sharp white cheddar and a Gruyere. And that's the mix on that. 4.5 cups of the sharp white cheddar. So more of that.
Yeah.
And then 2 cups of the Gruyere.
Nice.
And then what you do is you make it in a big pot, right? You make the cheese sauce in a big pot. You cook the pasta separately. Mm-hmm. You pour the pasta in it.
Yeah.
You mix it all together. Then you pour it all into the baking pan. And then you put these and then you have sort of pan toasted or pan browned this bread.
Yes.
Some a little bit of crouton business.
Yeah.
And then you put that on top.
Oh my God.
And then you sprinkle one more layer, the rest of the cheese
more
on top.
Cheese?
And then you bake it for like a half an hour or whatever. And you try not to eat it all.
Because the last line of the recipe says eat and enjoy, but there is not. I need the one after that says that's enough now.
That's enough now.
Put it in the fridge.
Wrap it up. And
Yeah, don't put that away. I need to take a picture of that recipe.
Oh, fair enough.
For myself.
And BakeSpace, BakeSpace is still around. I think people still use
it.
It's
just MySpace for baking?
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
It's actually Babette. Is her name's Babette, which is
who names
a kid Babette, and then you have to grow up and be a Babette.
That's a really name you have to grow into.
And she fucking nails it. Quite honestly, she owns it. She made it her own, and so BakeSpace is super fun. And so all of my chicken recipes are on there. And then that mac and cheese.
Is it like a social network where you like friend each other and you can see each other's recipes?
Yes.
damn.
I don't know if it's taken off. I don't know if it's taken off as much, but I've kept it sort of like I've kept MySpace.
You too. I try. Yeah. I don't have. I've been to my page in? Recently, but I can't get it. Yeah.
Well, it might be hooked up to an old email address.
Yeah, it is.
And I have a very, very old email address that I kept because my sister set it up. Mm. It's an AOL account.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I email you from my AOL account, it says, Jesus is talking. Because my sister made it in 1989. She made my name Jesus. We were funny back then, you guys. What's happening? And
that's pretty great.
It's pretty crazy.
I never got an email from Jesus.
Like, so what are you putting? Are you doing fruit on your cheese plate?
So you need a lot. For me, the key to a fruit plate, a cheese plate, is variety. And you want to be able to create different kinds of bites, right?
Okay.
I was very inspired. There was a restaurant in New York that I used to love going to, that I still go whenever I'm there. It's called Casa Lula. And it is a, like, sort of, their thing is cheese. They usually have, like, they have like a, I don't, whatever the cheese equivalent of a sommelier is.
Okay.
Like a fromagier or whatever the fuck. And so whenever you go, like any given day, there's like 20 or 30 in the case. And the thing they do though is you can ask, you can get, because I just looking at them, I don't know the difference, but you can say like, give me five, give me a range. And then they, you know, they'll make you a little plate.
Yeah.
And what they, what the genius thing they do is, with every cheese, it comes with its own little accoutrement, like its own little pairing for taste.
Okay.
So sometimes with it, they're like, here's this cheese. A lot of times they'll do a goat cheese with like a little bit of lemon curd.
Okay.
Because the flavors are very complimentary. Or like, this cheese has like a some sort of sun-dried tomato situation.
Right.
Or like a chutney or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The best one, the one that always blows my mind, was they would give you blue cheese, and with that you get a little piece of brown sugar fudge.
Oh my God.
And it looks horrendous, and you're like, this is never, and then you put the two things in your mouth at the same time and your brain explodes because it's the most delicious thing on the face of the planet.
Right. It's just, sometimes I think about like, go, because I've been to like those small plate tapas places,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and different places like that. I'm like, am I Marie Antoinette? What's happening? Because it feels like, I think I spent $16 one time on a plate of like five bites of things.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing. Let's try not to do this every time, because I don't want to be a monster. So
yeah, no, I will definitely like.
Right, it's got to be
homeless,
a treat,
but like with memories of delicious tiny meals.
Exactly, right.
No, it's totally a treat. Yeah, this, but they definitely like, and this, and the sweet and the savory goes back. My aunt, I grew up from the, you know, I'm from the South. And
oh,
like,
where'd you grow up?
North Carolina.
Okay,
and we definitely loved food in my family, but mm-hmm, like, neither of my parents, my dad loves cooking, but like sort of discovered it a little bit later and is not, my brother actually is a chef, but as a kid, you know, we just ate like the 80s stuff. Like,
oh, right.
We were just eating
just
fucking Salisbury steak and like,
right,
box shit. Yeah, yeah. Like,
Lunchables.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were raised,
yeah,
on Lunchables.
Yeah. Well, like every child was.
Yes.
But my aunt was a caterer. She,
okay.
She was like, she did lots of stuff. But one of the things she did is she ran a catering business on the side. So she always, and she lived in Columbia, South Carolina, which is like a city.
Okay.
I didn't know at the time that it was like a hot, miserable city.
Right.
Like it's 1,000 degrees every minute of the day.
It's like living inside somebody's mouth.
Yeah. My cousin still lives there. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah.
It's so hot. But she was very cultured, and she would bring, she was the first person to ever feed me like an avocado.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is disgusting.
Where did you find this?
Yeah. In the 80s.
Why do people eat this?
No. She called it, she gave us, she was like, I'm making dinner. She was like, this is a California salad.
Oh.
That's what she called it. It was like spinach. And it was very weird. All the things were, I was used to like iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
Ranch dressing, croutons.
Yeah.
This was like spinach.
And a winter tomato.
Yeah. Oh, the worst. Like, I don't even want a tomato.
I'm from Wisconsin. It's comparable.
Oh.
It's I had a tomato sandwich from the garden this morning.
Oh, my God.
Because there was one. Our garden got destroyed with the 116 a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, so it had like spinach.
It had spinach. It had avocado chunks. I'm pretty sure there were mandarin oranges in there, or maybe no, strawberries.
Okay.
And a poppy seed dressing.
Oh my God.
And I was like, literally, I don't understand.
This is not food.
This is like, yeah.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
I didn't love it. But I respected it, you know?
Well, that's good. And plus you were raised to eat what was put in front of you, probably.
Oh,
you're
sure.
Like,
this lady... Oh, I never had a problem with that. That was never...
That was not an issue.
Clean Play Club from the get-go.
But so...
But one thing she also did, she would make these cheese balls, because I'm also getting into making cheese balls, which we can get to.
Yes.
But she would make this cheese ball, and it was like super sharp cheddar cheese grated with a grated onion, a little garlic powder, a little salt and pepper, and then you make it, you roll it in pecans, and then she would take this cheese ball, make a big dent in the top of it, and then fill that dent with strawberry jam.
Wow. I don't want any part of all of those foods, but that's me. A lot of
it
people.
It was crazy. It looked revolting.
Yeah.
And then it tasted really, really good.
That's amazing. It's I'm not a fan of fruit and savory together.
Fair.
But people love it. People
I
are on
hate
board.
Fruit and chocolate. So
well,
I
you don't like fruit and chocolate covered strawberries?
Strawberry's the only one I can handle.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
You get a chocolate and a raspberry together, you can fuck right off.
You can go to hell.
Yeah.
You take that, go to hell with it, and enjoy it there.
I hope you're the last of your name.
I actually, fruit and chocolate, I'm on board. But,
yeah, but I respect
but fruit and
here.
Meat. Andy will like an apricot chicken thing, and I'm like, why would you ruin perfectly good chicken by putting some weirdo fruit in it? And I just saw some, there was a recipe in the week, this week, mm-hmm. which is a pork belly and peaches.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of interesting. But I bet you it's dumb.
I bet you hate it.
But I bet you people love it. I bet you people who are on board. And I don't fear any food. I mean, I will clearly try whatever. But it's not but it was interesting. Like, I didn't try a bagel until I was in college. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what did you get? Like those fucking frozen Lenders bagels? That's what we had when I was a kid.
Well, we never even had those. I think my stepmother had one time. This is one of my favorite. She would deny it. But she had a bagel, and I was like, what is that? And she said, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
looks like bread.
I don't agree. she's like, it's mine. Get away from me.
Oh, wow.
And so she had some food issues.
Wow.
And,
wow.
But she was she hated cooking. And so she would make like three things really well. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it was like, just eat.
Yeah.
And
my mom was like that. She was good at it. She just didn't like it.
Oh, Nancy was terrible at it. She made she made a really good roast chicken, which is why I'm obsessed with roast chicken.
Oh, wow.
She made a pretty good – there was like a pasta dish she made. It was either – no, it was a chicken dish called chicken cacciatore.
Oh, like with a tomato sauce?
Yeah. It was a tomato sauce that people like – everybody else liked it. But again, I was like, what? What'd you do to the chicken?
Yeah, can we just put that sauce on the side, please?
Right, why don't you – I don't want to have some tomato sauce, but why don't we put it on top of rice or something? and then give me my chicken.
Just
it's very weird.
Chicken.
About chicken's a bit of a trigger food for me.
Clearly, but, yeah, we've got some boundary issues.
It's yeah, and so – but I do like the idea – okay, so – you got your cheeses.
You got a cheese. So I think it's
important. Sun-dried tomatoes is an interesting idea to put on a cheese plate.
You could absolutely. That would be a beautiful addition to a cheese
And then there's
plate.
Fruit.
I put some fruit on there because some people like it. And
yeah.
also, I usually do
like
apples.
Grapes and stuff.
Grapes.
Or, yeah.
I don't love grapes. In my adulthood, I'm finally just letting myself not like grapes.
You don't have to like grapes.
Thank you. People do. It's that skin. I don't like really love a plum either. There's something about that skin and then the tart and then it gives me the willies. I don't know when I chew it.
Oh, back of the jaw?
It's like a texture thing.
Okay.
But I like to do like slice up a bunch of apples.
Okay.
And then it's important that you toss them in a little lemon juice so they don't get brown.
Right, because people get weirded out. You're
Why
like,
you don't
it's,
want a brown apple on your
Nobody wants a brown
aesthetically,
apple. It's hard to put a banana. You
oh,
couldn't
no,
put,
a banana.
Put a banana. Now that'd be weird
no,
for
no,
people.
No, 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 that'd be
no.
terrible.
I like a banana.
I love a banana, but you know what?
I don't know how to serve a banana publicly on a plate. A banana, you just hand. It's
no,
its own food.
No, it's
you're
just,
like have a banana.
It's its own thing. You're on banana time. You're doing banana rolls. Just respect the banana. It's very. The instructions are very clear. Take this, hold this thing, pull it, eat it. Like
that's the whole plan.
Yeah.
Let me just do this. By the way, I'm talking to Amy Height. It's HEIDT. That's what it is on Twitter and Instagram and all the things at Amy Height. And then Thursday the 24th, you're going to be at Three Clubs telling a story in the woman version of Tales of Male Folly,
yes.
which is usually just men talking about banana head decisions they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a bunch of women talking about banana decisions men have made.
No, us.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Tales of Female Folly.
Yeah. No, we don't talk about those dudes. We're,
okay. It's fine.
Men can come and watch.
Yeah. You'll be back. You'll be back next week.
It's, don't worry. Give us 1 hour.
There's more work for white men, you guys. It's all okay.
It's a terrible time to be a white man. Somebody said that the other day.
Jenna Friedman did a great Conan set about how it's a terrible time to be a straight white guy. Just the last couple of weeks have been real hard for them, you guys. And
I did hear someone the other day say to me, was saying how sad he was that the Me Too movement happened because he felt like he couldn't call women sweetheart anymore. And he was like, it's nice. I'm saying a nice thing.
It's nice.
And now I can't say it anymore.
I love the thing that he's like insisting that the thing that you didn't like is a good thing.
I know.
It doesn't make any. Yeah. It's like, no, you like it when I do that thing. It's like, wait, but what if I don't like it? Like, you're like, you want to eat a croissant. I'm going to jam it in your face. I'm like, but I'm not hungry. Right. And you're like, look, but it's nice.
I'm feeding you.
I'm feeding you.
It's a nice thing.
Right. That's what sweetheart is. I had some guy call me honey on the phone and after I canceled, and he was like, honey, you don't want to do this. And I said, and we're done talking. And he goes, what? And I said, I'm not your honey. My father calls me that, and it's barely tolerable. And so mostly because I think my dad calls everybody honey.
Oh, man.
And I'm just like, man. It's dad, he can call me honey. He can call me sweetheart. It's I am his daughter. Yeah. It's fine. But that and my husband, were he to want to, I think I said darling to him the other day. How out of character did that feel?
Darling. I was like, oh, my God. I'm
sorry, sweetheart. I'm not much of that. I'm like, hello,
hello. How are you? Is that what you say?
I think I just talk to him like a person.
Just wake up and shake hands.
We wake up and shake hands, you guys. Super romantic. We make the sweet, sweet love, but it's I'm not good with the words with boys. He's very nice though, and he's very tolerant of my lack of romantic chitter chat, I guess. Wow, this weeded off real quick.
Very nice. He's a very nice man.
Is there?
From what I can see.
Yeah, you've met him.
Yeah. All right, cheese plates. So you've got your cheese. You've got some vegetation. Another nice thing.
What kind of vegetation?
No, you can like in terms of like fruit. You brought up sun-dried tomatoes, which I had never even thought of. Beautiful addition.
Yeah.
I like to put some veggies on a cheese plate because it's, again, California.
Yeah.
And also like some people, I try to get some gluten-free crackers, but also cucumber slices are nice for putting cheese
there
on.
You go.
And I'm a big fan of Belgian endive.
Is that tall, that skit, that it, tall skinny
they look
lettuce?
Like little butt plugs, and then when you pull the leaves off, they're very they're like a taco
shell.
Enough. Yeah,
but they're half the size of that.
They're tiny. They're
Belgian
a little bitter.
Endive. Yeah,
They're great, and they're great for dips, and they're great for putting cheese and shit on.
Okay.
Yeah. So like that stuff, crackers are important. You know.
Yeah. What. We have several crackers. I don't eat crackers. So and we've got a Ritz. We got a Triscuit.
Oh, yeah.
And we might have a third. But like I'll eat a chip or a cracker if it's in front of me.
Yeah.
Don't put it in front of me.
Yeah, don't.
That's what I do. So, but he do you like an original Ritz?
I like all of those. Ritz I find a little hard for because they crumble so easily.
Okay.
So I don't normally put them on a cheese plate.
Mm-hmm.
Trader Joe's makes some fun little guys. They make some little like fig and olive crisps. They look like little tiny like Melba toast, but they're like sturdy and they have some nice flavor to them.
What do you think of a Melba toast?
I love a Melba toast.
Okay.
To make a little cheese bite.
Crudité, yeah, or
yeah,
whatever.
Why not? Why the hell not?
Why not? It's because you need to put it on something. But I like the idea of a cucumber. There was a woman, a real nice woman named Carolyn Albert. Mm-hmm. You guys don't know her. Anyway, she's great. She
allegedly
made these amazing. They look like sushi rolls, but they were shaved long cucumber that she then rolled with cream cheese and carrots in it, and just like it was just a small schmear. Uh-huh. Of cream cheese.
Fantastic.
And then like a little bit of like it was like a green onion.
Mm-hmm.
And cream cheese, green onion, and a little bit of like shredded carrot.
Mm-hmm.
And then she rolled it up, and it might have been something else in it, but it looked like a California roll.
Oh my God.
But not with with seaweed or not with rice paper.
Yeah.
Just made with another thing, which is like a cucumber that you're like, oh, I would like to eat that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, any way that I can trick myself into eating the vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah. I just opened a new drawer. I've been out of town a little bit. So I was in the fridge. I opened a bottom drawer because I like to put out some chocolates and some nuts for a Dork Forest.
There was a beautiful spread when I got here.
It's real nice. Little craft services, you guys. And but I opened up this drawer and I was like, oh, there's a giant eggplant in there. There's an eggplant, some bell peppers, and so those tiny pearl onions.
Oh, my God. You're halfway to fucking ratatouille.
That's right. I know. Exactly. And I have an extra tomato, but they're saved for tomato sandwiches. Because I went up to the farmer's
market. Talk to me about your tomato sandwiches, because that is a thing from my childhood that, like, every summer I need to have, like, one perfect one.
Do you ever read Harriet the Spy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw the movie, but I heard that it holds up pretty good.
I didn't either. I read the book a long time ago, but I remember.
My brother Phil gave it to me 1 year when I was 8. And I credit it with starting me writing. Because I started the journal when I was 8 years old. Holy because shit. Harriet the Spy was a spy.
Oh.
And what she really was fucking Mrs. Kravitz. She was constantly looking in people's windows and she's like, hello, I'm what's his name next door is busy making a salad or whatever. You're like, is there something, is rear window going on? No, nothing's happening. Because she's a girl, a tiny kid.
Oh.
And I wrote, I wrote because I heard the spy, and she That's made fantastic. Tomato sandwiches. And when I was a kid, remember, I'm the youngest of 6, so I was like, I would like tomato sandwiches. And Nancy Cation said, tomatoes are expensive. Have a ketchup sandwich. So I made a ketchup sandwich.
Wow.
Ketchup sandwiches are not good. They're not terrible.
Tomatoes are expensive. Have a ketchup So what do? Do you like freeze ketchup in the mold of a slice of tomato so
nope.
that you can then
No, like, I just essentially spread ketchup on two pieces
of fact. Okay, now this tells me everything I need to know about her as a cook. But she
Yeah.
She
was, yeah, that was,
that
this
was the most logical explanation.
You are correct. That kind of sums it up.
That tells me everything.
She's like, I'm busy raising someone else's children and working 50 hours a week, so make a ketchup sandwich and get out of my face. And don't forget to brush your teeth.
Respect, Nancy. Respect.
Oh, completely.
But also, wow.
But also, what?
Ketchup sandwich. That's hardcore.
It was. And she would make, and my brothers ate so much, she would plate all of our food for us.
Oh, wow. So that they wouldn't steal yours?
Yeah. She was like, everyone gets at least one plate of food. Aww. And she's like, and you have to eat vegetables and you will sit there until you eat it. And we're like, that's not a problem. And so we just ate all the food. And then my brothers would be like, and to this day, I eat way too fast.
Sure.
Because if you wanted seconds, you know, four teenage boys. So
yeah. I eat fast because my dad was in the military school. So I just picked up his habit, but the habit of like, when you were a freshman, like,
You only had 15 minutes.
Gobble it. You only had 15 minutes anyway. And then also when you were a freshman, someone was always coming to take your food away. So you just had to shove it all in your mouth at once and then just like chew it later.
Do you have any siblings?
I have a younger brother.
Excellent. Excellent.
He's a wonderful chef.
A wonderful chef.
He has a beautiful baby.
Oh, and you have a baby niece or nephew?
I do. Niece Rosie.
Rosie.
She's a
Do they live in North Carolina?
They do, yeah.
Oh, that's
neat. They live in my hometown. So I get to go see them all at the same time when I go.
That is convenient.
She's almost walking. She's very tall, very fat. She's perfect. I love her.
Oh, my God. That is adorable.
Watching a kid, like, teach themselves how to do this shit is mind-blowing.
I would run into my nieces and nephews and like, when I moved here, I would come back and a year later, and all of a sudden they'd be reading. And I was like, what happened? I said, well, I went to kindergarten, first grade. I learned how to read. And I was like, well, good to know. What are you reading? Because I like to know.
Yeah, of course.
What people are reading. Are you reading anything good?
Well, I just I go through phases. Because in New York, when I lived in New York for forever, I would read on the subway, and I read all the time.
Right.
And I was always a big reader growing up.
And now you're driving.
Out here, I'm driving. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to The Dork Forest.
Are you listening to a little bit of The Dork Forest?
Oh, yes.
That's right. You just listened to the Nia DeBose one about the Muppets.
I went to the Hollywood Bowl Muppet show. It was fucking awesome.
Did you? Andy went. I was out of town. It sounded
really,
like a delight.
You really screwed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really did.
You really missed something there, Cation.
Yep. Anyway, no, it was really good. But right now, I just read a couple of good books. These days, I'm trying to balance like a fiction book with like something nonfiction that will sort of like blow my brain a little bit.
I have been reading the same nonfiction book. I want to finish it before the year is up that I bought it 1 year ago.
Wow. What book is it?
Oh, it's called Reinventing Knowledge. It's the history of how humans have collected knowledge.
Ooh.
So there's the library, the monastery, the university, the laboratory, it's fascinating. Here's the thing, is I genuinely read 3 pages of it, and my mind is blown, and it takes me a week to process it, and then I go back to it, and I'm like, then what happened?
Oh, God.
It's like the Germans inventing us all sitting in rows and bells and everybody getting to read was the Germans.
Wow.
They were like, no, everyone should get to read. Yes, yes. And you will be on time and we will teach you to read and it will all work out.
Everything's going to be great. We're only going to make smart choices.
We're only going to make smart choices as a country.
Yep.
And we're going to have the smartest kids in the world. And for 100 years, they did.
Wow.
And then everyone was like, well, that seems really great. And then factories were invented, and we needed everyone to show up on time anyway. So
sure.
Anyway, and the Germans were the first ones to go, just because she is a woman doesn't mean she cannot be smart. And you're like, oh, thank you, God. We've wanted to be people forever. Can we just be people?
I had a feeling that I was a person. I had this, like, sneaking suspicion.
There's always a, you know, like, come on. Can we? I swear to God, if we learned to read, it would be better conversation.
Oh.
It wouldn't just be.
But, I feel like some of the dudes probably weren't into that because they just want to talk.
No, yeah. It was, there was definitely that. There was, like, 75% of the dudes were like, what do you want to do? Do you want to hang out later?
I mean, yes. I know everything. I can just tell you stuff when you need to know it.
Right. But you want to be okay. And then you just want to walk around by yourself and not be murdered. Weird. Okay. Like, I wouldn't murder my sister. Like, if I saw my sister, you want, like that. Yes.
Just like that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, and then 25% were like, nope, I would murder my sister too if she were alone. And you're like, what just happened? Seriously, Lars.
Love fucking Lars.
Get off your ass, Lars, and accept some peoples. Anyway, Amy Height, you have been a delight. We're pushing an hour here.
Oh, damn. Look at that.
I know it.
I just want to say don't be afraid of a cheese plate. You can do it.
And
go with what you like. Nuts are important.
Meg,
ain't you proud of Meg? I mean, I don't know her, but shout out.
Shout out to her. She's doing beautiful works.
There's anything you want to know, you can find on Instagram.
Yeah, that's true. You could just do cheese. Could I put search place cheese plate, one would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Girl. And someone has hashtagged.
Girl, yes. 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 It's all there. Don't be afraid. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. I love this idea of the sun-dried tomatoes.
I love this.
We're doing a game day this weekend. I may make a cheese plate and go with a sun-dried tomato, which for a long time were vilified, much like Helen Hunt. There were times when people were like, too much sun-dried tomatoes, too much Helen Hunt. I don't want to see either of them for 4 years.
Go away for a decade. And now she's. I'll tell you what. I'm glad she's back.
Me too.
I've been a fan ever since Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Very important movie for my childhood. She was the coolest girl in the world. I got no beef with Helen. I love her.
No. She's doing good work. Amy, you are a fucking delight.
And
thank you so much for being on The Dork Forest.
This has been my absolute pleasure.
All right. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?